Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And, I guess we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory, Lord. We just pray that you would help us to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to somebody tonight. And we just ask that we could point people to Christ through the things we talk about. And just thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight, and a lot of stuff happening around the world, and I guess since we're broadcasting from south of Cleveland, Ohio tonight, I guess the Cavs are wrapping up their game. Last I heard, it was tied, if you're a basketball fan, and I mentioned that to say this. I don't really watch basketball. In fact, I took my daughter to a basketball game for her birthday one time when she was a teenager. That's what she really wanted to do. Her favorite team was playing in Cleveland, and so I took her to the game, and I think it's about the only time I ever paid to watch a basketball game, and I brought a book so that I'd have something to do during the game, and kind of embarrassed her as I sat there reading my book during the game. And although I have seen a number, I must admit, I have seen quite a few professional basketball games because I worked at the old Richfield Coliseum. Those in Northeast Ohio remember where that was. And so I worked there a year, and I worked during the basketball games then. But having said all that, you'll have to forgive me for just a moment here since Cleveland is in the playoffs, and this is the first time that they've ever won 4 playoff games in a row. I found that to be remarkable, and it's also the first time that I've ever seen the last 4 or 5 minutes of 4 or 5 playoff games in a row. I find that to be almost even more remarkable, but yet the Cavaliers won each one. I'm just not saying that there's a connection there, but I haven't watched the game tonight, and so, you know, if they don't win tonight, just saying there. But if you're a Cavs fan, I guess you're probably ready to shoot me now, or at least try to get me to watch the last few minutes of the game there. But at any rate, the game will play out, whatever it may be, and I hope your favorite team wins and all that sort of stuff. I know most of my family members are rooting for the Cavs right now, and I can get away with saying this because they're not listening to me. They're glued to the television set probably right now. Well, let's get back to something more important than a ball game. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We talk about just about anything dealing with the Bible, current events in light of God's Word. And we'll get into a couple of things here, I'm sure, this evening. But if you've got a question about the Bible, we'd love to take your phone calls. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. And wanted to mention something, too, as we're pausing here for just a moment. Of course, Monday is Memorial Day, and the Memorial Day is a special holiday. It's a significant holiday, and really for us in America, we should take advantage of the opportunity to do something rather than just grilling burgers or hot dogs. Memorial Day is a day when we should at least take time sometime in the course of the day. Even if you aren't able to go to some Memorial Day celebration somewhere in your local town or community, and most communities across America have some form of a parade or some kind of a commemoration, perhaps a local cemetery or something. I know our hometown here in Richfield. They have a parade and then a service at the cemetery every year, and I try to make it to that when I can. And also there's other things going on commemorating Memorial Day. And why it's important is because it's a day set aside to remember those who sacrificed and gave the ultimate sacrifice, really, those that lost their lives in service to our country, in military service, in order to protect the freedoms. And why Memorial Day is important is because it's through the sacrifice of these people that I'm able to be on the radio like this. We have freedom of expression here in this country. We can do this. We have freedom of religion in this country. And I'm able to be on the radio tonight because of that freedom that's been secured through the blood of men and women that have given their all to allow this country to be free. And we owe them a debt of gratitude. Of course, that points ultimately to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave his all that we might be freed from sin. And so it's something to think about here on this Memorial Day. And I was pointing out to somebody just recently, there are three holidays that are set aside to commemorate those associated with the military. One of them was Armed Forces Day, and that was earlier this month. And that's to celebrate and honor those who are currently serving in the Armed Forces of the United States of America. And then, of course, in the fall, in November, November 11, is Veterans Day, and that's to celebrate those who have served. Memorial Day sometimes gets turned into another Veterans Day. It's really not Veterans Day. It's a day to honor the lives of those that gave their lives so that we can have the freedom that we enjoy. Now, some of them, of course, all of them were military members, and so it's not Armed Forces Day. That's for those who are actively serving. And unfortunately, Armed Forces Day largely gets forgotten, though it is a national holiday. You can see it on your calendars. But Memorial Day becomes Veterans Day, and I do think it's right and fitting to honor those that have served, especially those who are wounded. And, you know, with the current war on terror and the action in Iraq and in Afghanistan and elsewhere in the world and the war on terror, we've seen large numbers of people wounded in these battles. And we should remember them. We should hold them up. And as Christians, we ought to hold them up in prayer and hold up their families in prayer and try to be a blessing and encouragement to them and try to do what we can. Churches should be rallying around their families in their churches that are the families of military members, especially those wounded in action and those who have lost loved ones due to military action. And certainly churches should be at the forefront of supporting these families and supporting the veterans who have been injured in war and doing what they can in order to recognize and help and come alongside of veterans, especially some of these young men and women who are coming from very difficult circumstances trying to transition back into the civilian world, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and many other things that they're struggling with. Our churches should be at the forefront of helping these people. Unfortunately, so many of our churches have really just kind of given lip service to our military members, and they look at the Bible and they find pacifism in the Bible and not justification for serving and the justification for defending your country. In fact, let me share something from Psalm 24. We were in Psalm 24 this evening in our evening church service. And for those of you who think that all believers, all Christians should be pacifists, Psalm 24 has an interesting statement here. Let me get turned over here. In Psalm 24, that's a very interesting psalm. It says, starting in verse number 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." And that points out to the fact that God, our God, is not a regional God. And I was telling our church this morning over in 1 Kings chapter 20, when the Syrians were attacking, they were led by, I believe it was Sennacherib, and they were losing in the hills, and they said, listen, the Jews' God is a God of the hills, and we need to get them out on the plains because our gods are stronger on the plains than Israel's gods. And, of course, God then told the king, he said, listen, I'm going to defeat the Syrians because of what they said, and he did. And he proved that he was a God not just of the hills but also the plains. And here's Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God is the God of the entire world. And the reason is because he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. He created it. So it belongs to him. And as we go down through this here, it comes down to a point right here in verse number 7 where it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? And notice what the answer is here in Psalm 24, verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. And God has been a God of war, but it's not, capricious wars where God just doesn't like how somebody looks and so he decides to wipe them out or something. God sent the Jewish people into the land as a tool of judgment against the Canaanites because the Canaanites had devolved into all kinds of perversion and sinful practices, and the Bible doesn't give us all of the background of how God tried to reach them, but it reached a point where because of their sinful practices, because of their practice of witchcraft and all these things, sacrificing their children to false gods and such, that God said, listen, enough is enough, and that he was going to destroy them from off the land, and he used the Jewish people as his tool of judgment. And so when Joshua was commanded to go into the land, recall they came, Moses led them out of Egypt. When they were in captivity in Egypt, Moses led them out of Egypt. And when they eventually, after the 40 years in the wilderness, when Joshua led them, Moses' successor Joshua led them into the promised land, God told them to go in and to destroy the inhabitants of the land. And it wasn't just because God just didn't like them or he just wanted to boot them aside. It was because he had passed judgment on them. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and it's an example of that. They weren't told to go and destroy everybody in other lands and other places. They were given a specific area where they were to be used as a tool of judgment that God brought against the Canaanites and destroyed them from off the land. Now, there are some that he spared. Rahab, for instance, in Jericho and her family, they believed in God, and God spared them, and there's some other cases. But going from there, fast forward several hundred years later, of course, if you read the book of Jeremiah, you will see how that God raised up Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and used Nebuchadnezzar as a tool of judgment against the Jewish people. And say, wait a minute. What's going on there? Well, I don't have time to go into all of that here tonight, but the Jewish people had rejected God, and they had entered into a covenant agreement with God that what God told them to do, they would do, and they agreed that if they obeyed God, that God would bless them, and if they disobeyed God, God would bring judgment against them. God sent prophet after prophet to try and warn them and to turn them back onto the right paths, into the right ways, and to turn them from their sin. And they devolved, like the Canaanites before them, into idolatry, sacrificing their children to false gods and all matter of sin and witchcraft and wickedness and things. And so God pronounced judgment on them, the judgment that they had agreed to, that they would be removed from the land. And he used the Babylonians to do just that. He raised up Nebuchadnezzar and brought them against Jerusalem. And although I skipped over it, much like he had done to the northern kingdom of Israel earlier, using the Assyrians to destroy the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom of Judah, God destroyed with Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians as judgment against the Jewish people for their rejection of God and their turning away to false gods. And he had done that again to prove that he was God, and also because there was an agreement. They had entered into God with an agreement that if they obeyed him and did the things they agreed to do, he would bless them and prosper them and protect them. If they disobeyed him and went after other gods, which are no real gods, if they engaged in the sins of the Canaanites that were cast out of the land before them, they agreed that it was God's duty to cast them out of the land as well. So that's where the 70-year captivity went in. And then, of course, they came back to the land, rebuilt the temple, which Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. And that brings us up to the time of Christ, when Jesus came, presented himself as the Messiah, and he was cut off. And it's interesting, it wasn't unexpected, it wasn't accidental that he was cut off. I want to go over here to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament for just a moment here. And this is in Daniel chapter 9. There's a prophecy given here, and we've talked about this prophecy from time to time here. And in this prophecy, it's a prophecy of 70 weeks that are given to the Jewish people that is to bring in the time of the Messiah and the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And these 70 weeks, each day in these weeks represented a year. And so these are 70 weeks of years. And all but the last seven of those years have been fulfilled. There's a parenthetical time in which we live that occurred when they rejected Christ as the Messiah. And here in Daniel chapter 9, it says here in verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall be with the flood, and to the end of the war desolations are determined. So there's a cutting off here and a temporary thing that takes place. Now, this says the Messiah would be cut off. He's presented in verse 25 that Messiah the Prince comes, and that would correspond to Palm Sunday. But then he was cut off, but not for himself. Jesus didn't go to the cross for sins that he committed. Pilate's wife said to have nothing to do with that just man. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The one thief on the cross said, we deserve what we're getting, but this man's done nothing. The Roman centurion said that he was a righteous man. He truly was the Son of God. And so everyone recognized. They even lied in order to try and come up with something to try and compel Pilate to condemn him to be killed. They raised up false witnesses, and they used a false trial. And so Jesus, the Messiah, was cut off, not for his own sin, but for our sin. And that's why he went to the cross. And now we're in this temporary time frame before the final 7 weeks of, or the final 7 days, I should say, the final week of Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9 take place. That final week will resume when the believers are caught out of the world and the world enters into the 7-year tribulation period when the Antichrist is revealed. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air this evening. And probably got a bunch of people watching the game tonight. And, you know, it's always hard to do a program. It's hard to do a program sometimes, and especially when a game goes into overtime, I guess. But it's, you know, World Series, Super Bowl, some of all those things can be kind of challenging. People are wanting to follow those rather than listen to somebody on the radio. And I can understand. If I was into the games like that, I'd probably be watching them too rather than listening to me. So I can't fault people for that. But if you're listening and you want to get in, this is a good time to try it, because our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673, and we can get you on here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Well, let me touch on something else here as we're talking about some of these things. The current Pope, and I mentioned this, I don't know if it was on our Friday program recently or maybe Sunday a week or two ago, but I was at an event recently, a breakfast thing, and a guy at the table where I was sitting, he comes from a Catholic background, and he was talking about the current Pope, and he said, you know, this Pope scares me, and we were talking about some different things. I just read a thing where the Pope is releasing this document coming up on the environment and climate change, and Roman Catholic bishops and priests and stuff are all starting to get ready because they believe that it's going to be the thing swinging the weight of the Catholic Church behind this idea that man is warming up the earth through our activities. And of course, they call it climate change now because, see, when I was in high school in the 1970s, we learned all about the coming ice age. And go online and Google Leonard Nimoy and coming ice age. And he did a program in the late 70s, and you can find it on YouTube, as to why the ice age has already begun and it may be too late to stop it. And it's all because we're driving too many cars, warming our houses too much in the summer or winter, and cooling it too much in the summer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, the ice age didn't occur, so they switched to global warming. And for the last 10 years, global warming has actually been cooling, so they changed it to climate change, because climate change is great. It's better than the coming ice age. It's better than global warming. If you get too much rain, it's climate change. If you get too little rain, it's climate change. If it's too cold, if you get record cold, it's climate change. If you get record heat, it's climate change. Doesn't matter what it is, it's climate change. And fact of the matter is, climate has been changing for quite some time. Where I'm sitting right now during the ice age, there was about a mile thick layer of ice. The environment heated up, and it wasn't man-made global warming that did it. The environment heated up and the ice melted. That's why I got Lake Erie just a few miles to the north of where I'm sitting. We've got Christine calling in. And Christine, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi. Good evening, Pastor Al.
Welcome.
Hi. I try to catch your program whenever I possibly can.
Well, thank you.
You and a couple other pastors on here seem to me to be very legitimate, and I like your style of delivering the word. Okay.
Oh,
and well, first of all, number one, I wanted to mention to you, and this is just something for your listeners, it's not something I made up. I've studied this and have seen this extensively go on in Hollywood and whatnot, as well as, unfortunately, our clergy. Are you familiar with the sign of the Illuminati that they give with the left hand? And
yeah, I'm familiar with some of that, yeah. And but go ahead. I won't interrupt you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say, you're not going to believe it. The current Pope has given this sign in public before. Just to make you aware, I'm not making this up. This is video footage of him doing this. And you may want to pay attention. And the second thing is I think if people were a little bit more concerned, since we're getting ready to wrap it up here, you know, we're at the end of the age, as they say. Jesus could return at any time to take his church out of here. If people were more concerned about, they should be more concerned about God's word than some game.
Oh, absolutely. And I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And I may be just a tad biased since I have a radio program on during the game. But no, you're right. We're as Americans and as Christians, we're more concerned with entertainment than we are with reaching the world for Christ. And you're absolutely right to point that out. And I'm going to come back to the Illuminati aspect here in a moment. And I think we've got just a minute or two, I think, before our break is coming up, a couple minutes. If I don't have time to get to it, I'll address it in the second half of the program. Does that sound good?
Absolutely.
Okay,
and I just also wanted to say that, you know, right now, you know, it's more important than ever that the Christians, the true Christians in this world, who are not sold out to the devil, okay, a true Christian will not be sold out to the devil, need to stand up and pay attention, and they need to wake up, and every voice helps because they have enough voices on their side. Why shouldn't we have some on ours?
Well, and I thank you for that. It's one of the reasons we do this radio program. I mean, we're a very small church. Most people would be shocked to realize how small our church is, and we're able to be on the radio. I mean, we're on the radio half hour every Friday and then an hour every Sunday night, and we're carried on a number of stations in Ohio and Florida. And it's by God's grace that we're able to do this and not spend, you know, 90% of our time begging for money to do this. God's provided through our small church and some people who've taken an interest in us, and we're able to do this. And part of the reason is we meet in a hotel room. I mean, we meet in a hotel room. We could meet in a building if we chose to spend our money there rather than on the radio. We've just opted to spend our money with the radio outreach rather than on a building. And that's not for every church. I'm not saying every church has to get rid of their building and go on the radio. God has different purposes for different ministries. But yeah, we need to focus. We only have so much time left. I believe the time of the Lord's return is close. And Jesus said, I love this verse. It's probably becoming one of my favorite verses this year, is Luke 21:28, when Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want to thank you for your call. We've got another half hour of the program. Stay tuned. We'll be on until midnight tonight, and we'll pick up on the next side of the break.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and We'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with the program here this evening and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. And let me tell you, if you've been not calling because you're watching the Cavs game, don't worry about it. They finished it up, I guess, while we were on break or something there. And so I can go ahead and say it. They won 114 to 111, I guess, was the score. So you're interested in that. So my family will be happy that I at least listened to a little bit of it on the radio on the way up here. So maybe that contributed as much as almost as much as my watching it the last four games, which I don't ever do. Really generally not interested. But anyway, let me get back to something more important here and our program. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we're, of course, brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. If you're in Northeast Ohio in the Cleveland area, check out East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza's got calzones, stromboli sandwiches, wraps. They've got Lebanese food, and they got a whole lot more wings, all kinds of stuff. I watched the owner, Gus, make a first time I've ever seen a corned beef pizza. I never seen it before. Pizza dough, garlic butter sauce, corned beef, and cheese. If you like corned beef, that's the way to go. But I digress, though. Call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe you've got a restaurant and you want to open up a pizza shop, or open up a line of pizza in your restaurant, or open up a pizza shop from scratch, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, and he can help you get started for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. Well, we're going to get back to our program here, and we're going to touch back on a subject that we started talking about on the first half of the break, and we've got Christine back here. And, a different Christine. I thought the same Christine had the Pope mentioned there. But Christine, welcome to the program. We'll get you on here too.
Excuse me. Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
I heard the other Christine, mention, what she said, which is very interesting. And, I just wondered, I'm going to ask you a question and then I'll hang up, listen to your answer off the air. I was just wondering, some people, have commented or spoken about the fact that there's a possibility or they believe that the Pope could be the false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered what your thoughts were about that. And
right.
I'll hang up and okay. Listen off the air.
Well, thank you for that question, and I appreciate that. The there's been a long tradition of the Protestant reformers, for instance, who have has suggested that the Pope would be the Antichrist, and even a good long tradition amongst Baptists. And just as an aside, I separated Baptists out there because Baptists are not Protestants. Protestants are those churches, those denominations that came out of Catholicism or descended from one of the churches that came from Catholicism. The Baptists were around before, they go all the way back to the first century. And but even a number of Baptists have pointed the popes as being the Antichrist. They certainly have had the spirit of Antichrist, and the Bible says that the spirit of Antichrist was operating in the world even in the day of Paul and John and the other apostles, Peter and all of them. And so certainly anyone that denies the Word of God, denies the fundamental teachings of the Word of God, anyone who changes the gospel message. Paul wrote, I believe it was to the Galatians, he said, if anybody brings another gospel, which we haven't given to you in the first place, let him be anathema, which means accursed. And that's because that's the spirit of Antichrist working. And certainly the popes have changed the method of salvation or the way of salvation from being saved by grace through faith in Christ to work salvation and being sprinkled with water. Initially they immersed, and then later they changed it to sprinkling or pouring. And so they've changed the scriptures and all that. So the spirit of Antichrist has been operating there. But the Antichrist himself, I think, will be somebody other than the Pope. And I really believe that the Pope could quite possibly, not necessarily this one, but possibly this one, when you look at a guy who claims to be the vicar of Christ, the spokesman of Christ on earth, and he says that an atheist will go to heaven because if he's a good person, even if he refuses to acknowledge that heaven exists, much less that God exists, he'll still go to heaven if he's a good person. And, you know, my Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And it also says the wages of sin is death. So there's none that are good. In our eyes, we might say somebody is good, but in God's eyes, we've all sinned and come short of his glory, which is his absolute perfection. So we all need Christ. And in fact, Jesus told in John chapter 3 and verse 18, says that we're condemned already because we have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if we've not trusted Christ as our Savior, we're already condemned. And you don't have to be a bad person to be condemned. It's just because you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. So an atheist, by definition, is condemned already because he's not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he believed that God exists. So how can he possibly be saved? But yet, the current Pope has said this, and I've talked with Catholics who have defended that, that he's saved, or that you can get to heaven if you're an atheist. And even the current Catholic catechism that was written by the last pope, Pope Benedict, when he was still a cardinal, he wrote it at the request of the previous pope, which was John Paul II. And it says in there that Muslims, remember, these are Muslims, that in the Quran says that if you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, you're an infidel. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, you're an infidel. That's in the Quran. You know, you don't have to make that stuff up. It's in the Quran. I've read it. And the last three popes, the current one and the two before him, have all said that people who believe that Jesus is not God in the flesh, people who believe that Jesus did not die on the cross, and that anybody that believes those things is an infidel, deserving of being killed, that those people are going to go to heaven because their heart was in the right place. It's in the Catholic Catechism. I'm not going to take the time I actually got it sitting about 3 feet away from me, but I'm just not going to take time right now to pull it out and try and look up the exact quote, but it's in there, and I've read that as well. So he's definitely got the spirit of Antichrist, but the Bible says that during the tribulation period, there's going to be a one-world religion, and it's quite clear that the last three popes, Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and Pope Francis, have all been working to bring all religions under the headship of a Roman Catholic Church. Sounds like what the false prophet does during the tribulation period. And he tries to bring everybody together under the headship of his religious organization, and then when the Antichrist steps into the rebuilt temple, goes into the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God, and demands that people worship him, it's the false prophet that builds the statue, the image of the beast, and demands that everybody bows down and worships it and receives the number of the beast or the name of the beast on their forehead or on the back of their right hand. It's the false prophet, and that's in Revelation chapter 13, that commands people to do this and leads in this, and those that do not worship the Antichrist as God and receive his number, they're executed. And the Bible indicates that the way of execution will be to have their heads cut off. And interestingly enough, people who believe that the false prophet or the Antichrist or both will be Muslim, they say, well, beheading, that's what the Muslims do. Well, Roman Catholic Church beheaded Bible-believing Christians before Islam was ever invented. So the Muslims have no monopoly on beheadings. That's been going on a lot longer than Islam's been in existence. Islam came along in the 7th century, I believe it was, and Roman Catholicism came along in the 4th century. And so even the Roman government practiced beheadings before the Roman Catholic Church came into existence. But at any rate, the false prophet leads them in worship of the beast as God. And so we can see, certainly if not the Pope, we can certainly see that they are contributing to what the false prophet will do during the tribulation period. So I hope that answers Christine's question there. And I wanted to touch on one other thing real quick here. And let me give out those phone numbers real quick again. Got another caller on hold as well they're going to get to in a moment. But you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our phone number. 888-677-9673 if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And again, follow up to a previous caller. I was mentioning that I was going to touch on something real quick with conspiracies. There are several things online. BuzzFeed had an article, 11 Reasons Why, I think it was 11 Reasons Why the Pope was involved in the Illuminati. And really, the Illuminati is one of many conspiracy groups. And I don't know if I pointed out here our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go to that website, in addition to past programs, you can find a column on the right-hand side of the page. And if you go down a little ways below where the current radio broadcasts that are listed there on in the prayer request, there's a section that says, listen to a Live with Pastor Al favorite. And down underneath that, it's more or less in alphabetical order, is a column or a portion of a program called Chemtrails Beware, where I address conspiracy theories. And I encourage you to listen to that. Go on to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and then scroll down on the right-hand side to the Pastor Al favorites and look for Chemtrails Beware. Click on the link there. You can hear me address this in greater detail. But let me just touch on this real quick. We have the spirit of Antichrist working in the world today, and the Bible says that it's restrained. There have been conspiracies down through the ages. Some come, some go. Some surge into the forefront for a while. Some disappear, reappear later. Some transform. Many of them, the same people, are at the top of each of them, whether it's the Illuminati, whether it's the Freemasons, whether it's the Catholic Church, Club of Rome, whether it's the Rockefellers, whether it's Walt Disney. He was also figured into a conspiracy theory there for a while. Whatever it is, here's the key to it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when it's talking about the Antichrist here, and I'll read through this, and then we're going to get to our caller here. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, starting verse 1, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the Antichrist revealing himself during the tribulation period. And he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told these things. Verse 6, he says, now you know ye what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. He's actively being restrained from being revealed. For the mystery of iniquity doth now work. This is the conspiracy theories that are all outgrowths of this. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, and that letteth right there is of the interpretation or the definition of restraining, not permitting and not renting. Restraining, permitting, and renting are all permissible uses of the word let. Only he who now letteth or restrains will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, that's telling us that the spirit of Antichrist is being, the spirit of iniquity, the spirit of Antichrist is being restrained right now. And these various conspiracies, like I said, they ebb and flow, they surface, they mutate. But the master conspirator behind all of them is not the Catholic Church. It's not the Illuminati. It's not the Rockefellers. It is the devil himself. And go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Scroll down on the right-hand side for chemtrails beware, and I go into that in a bit more detail. We're going to get back to our caller here, and we have John patiently waiting. John, sorry to keep you on there for a while. A lot going on, but welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well.
Good. I was listening to the first half of your program, and
yes, sir,
you quoted a verse from Psalms.
Uh-huh. Psalm 24.
Saying that God was a man of war.
He was a mighty God. I can turn back there and read it again for the benefit of those who may not have heard the beginning of the program. Let me just flip over here real quick again. Psalm 24. And David is writing this. Incidentally, it's thought to have been written for the occasion when he brought the ark up to Jerusalem. It says, "Who is this King of glory?" In Psalm 24, verse 8, "The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle." And we talked about that. And actually, verse 10 says, "The Lord of hosts," calls him the Lord of hosts and as well. So go ahead.
I remember reading in the Bible where it said that David was not allowed to build the temple because he had the
He was a man
of
war.
War on his hands.
Yeah, he has the man of war. He had shed much blood,
right.
But he was also called a man after God's own heart.
Right,
and
he
was a friend of God.
The temple, though.
But God had instructed him to do certain things, and he then told David, "I want your son to do it. He'll be a man of peace," although Solomon was actually involved in a number of wars himself. David was not allowed to build the temple because he was a wicked sinner. He was a man that was described as a man after God's heart. He was a man that is in heaven. He's one of the Old Testament saints. He's a hero of the faith. He was not told he couldn't build the temple because he was a wicked sinner.
No, it's said that he couldn't build it because of the blood of war on his hands.
Well, I just said that.
Yeah.
God chose to use his son Solomon. But God, you're trying to imply, and it's a false implication, it's either a false implication or a misunderstanding of the scripture, but it sounds like you're trying to imply that David was not allowed to build the temple because he was guilty of some grievous sin. And
no,
that's not the case.
It was because he had the blood of war on his hands.
Yeah, he was used as a man of war, and God chose not to have him build a temple. It's as simple as that. It wasn't because of sin. Are you trying to say David was a sinner and that was why?
No, it was because he had the blood of war.
We're in agreement.
Okay.
We're in agreement. Well, I thank you for that.
I was going to ask you, do you feel that if Peter would have taken up a sword against the Romans, that he would be given the keys of the kingdom?
Peter did take up the sword against the Romans. He cut off the young guy's ear, and Jesus told him to put the sword away. So it's not time for that. Now,
right.
Jesus
told
had told them
to take
the swords, but it wasn't time for him to use a sword because they were told, hey, when I sent you out before, I sent you out unarmed, told you not even to take money or extra clothing with you. He said, now take money, take extra clothing. Go sell your coat if you have to and buy a sword. That's a deadly weapon so that you can protect yourself. I'm getting back to, and Peter did take up the sword, and Jesus told him to put it away, and he still blessed him and still used him.
Do you think Peter took it up against the Romans?
Well, he took it up. It was Malchus, I believe was the guy's name, was the high priest's servant. I don't know that there was any Romans right there himself. He didn't take it up in the sense of insurrection against the Roman Empire. He did take up the sword in order to defend Jesus, but Jesus wasn't to be defended right then. Jesus could have struck down those that came against him and could have killed them all. I mean, they
exactly.
No one could have put Jesus on the cross had he not allowed them to.
And Peter was rebuked for that, right?
Oh yeah, because it wasn't the right time. It wasn't time for Jesus to be defended with the sword. He was to be arrested to fulfill prophecy. He was to be tried to fulfill prophecy. He was to be nailed to the cross between two thieves to fulfill prophecy. He was to die and be buried in a rich man's tomb to fulfill prophecy. All of that was done so that he might die and shed his blood to pay for our sin. Had he been prevented from going to the cross, Jesus would not have been able to purchase our salvation, and we wouldn't have a gospel message today.
Do you think that Paul and John would have taken up arms against Rome?
Why would they have?
Well, you say
I'm failing to find your point here. I'm sorry.
You
maybe
seem to feel that it's okay
tonight.
To take up the sword.
You're going in circles, John. They were to take up the sword for defense, not to attack the Roman government. You know, we're not getting anywhere fast here on this.
Well, I'm just wondering if you felt that Paul and John would have ever taken up the sword.
Not in an insurrection against the government, so I guess I've answered your question as far as we can go. But thank you for the call. I guess we're not going to get any further than that. They did not take up the sword in insurrection, in rebellion against the Roman government. That wasn't their purpose. Although they did have the sword for defense. You know, they traveled on roads where there were bad guys that might want to attack them. They traveled on the roads where there were wild animals that might want to attack them while they slept. And that's why they had the sword. That's why Jesus told them to take the sword. Unfortunately, some people read the Bible and they either fail to understand what it's saying, or they don't want to accept what it's saying, or they just don't see what it's saying. And you know, so I'm sorry if I've not answered the question, you know, as fully as our caller would have liked. But you know, the sword was there because Jesus told him to take it, and Peter was rebuked not because he had a sword, but because he tried to prevent Jesus from being arrested. And it's the same Peter that I believe in Matthew chapter 16, if you recall, Jesus had asked the disciples, he said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, you know, some people say you're one of the Old Testament prophets. Some people say you're John the Baptist come back from the dead." And then he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, you're the Christ." He recognized him as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And when Peter said that, Jesus commended him. And he said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but rather God's revealed it to you." And I'll see if I can get to that exact wording here in just a moment as I flip through my Bible. But it's interesting that Jesus commended Matthew for this tremendous statement. And that's just a few minutes later, Jesus is telling them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and die. And Peter says, "Oh, not so, Lord." And Jesus turns to him and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And because he was listening to the devil at that point rather than listening to God, which Jesus had just commended him for just a few moments ago. Peter was an impetuous man. And that's why when he had the sword at hand, he took up the sword. And he's the same Peter that said, I'll go to jail with you, Lord." At the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "You're all going to deny me. Peter, you're going to deny me three times." Peter had said, "I'll go to jail with you. I'll go to death with you if I have to." And Jesus said, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And Peter did. Peter wept bitterly. Peter was an impetuous man. He grabbed the sword, tried to keep Jesus from being arrested. It wasn't time for that to happen. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy, went to the cross. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.